Now, a good textbook never tells you anything, but what it doesn't back it up. He's going to spend the first half of this chapter showing you and I why fellowship alone is not sufficient. The last half of this chapter, he's going to tell us what the common solution is that brings about the changes necessary for recovery. So the first thing, let's look at why fellowship is not sufficient.
He said, "You on page 20, please. He said, you may have already asked yourself why it is that all of us became so very ill from drinking. Doubtless you are curious to discover how and why, in the face of expert opinion to the contrary, we have recovered from a hopeless condition of mind and body. Now, if you're an alcoholic who wants to get over it, you already may be asking, well, what do I have to do? Well, it's the purpose of this book to answer such questions specifically. Remember last night we talked about precisely, specifically, with clear-cut directions. Well, here's one of those words. They're going to answer such questions specifically. We shall tell you what we've done. Before going into great detail and into a detailed discussion, it may be well to summarize the points as we see them. How many times people have said to us, I can take it or leave it alone. Why can't he? Why don't you drink like a gentleman or quit? That fellow can't handle his liquor. Why don't you try beer and wine and lay off the hard stuff? His willpower must be weak. He could stop if he wanted to. She's such a sweet girl. I should think he'd stop for her sake. The doctor told him that if he ever drank again, it would kill him. But there he is, all lit up again. Now, these observations are commonplace observations on drinking, which we hear all the time. Back of them is a world of ignorance and misunderstanding. We see that these expressions refer to people whose reactions are very different from ours.
Okay, we're going to look at three different kinds of drinkers. The first one is moderate drinkers. It says moderate drinkers had a little trouble in giving up liquor entirely. If they had good reason for it, they can take it or leave it alone. You know, we talked about them last night. They're the ones that have a couple of drinks. They get a slightly tipsy, out of control, beginnings of a nauseous feeling. Alcohol is no big deal for them. If any reason presents itself, they can take it or leave it alone. These observations that Joe just read would refer to the moderate drinker. Then we have a certain type of hard drinker. He may have the habit bad enough to gradually impair him physically and mentally. It may cause him to die a few years before his time. If a sufficiently strong reason, ill health, falling in love, change of environment, or the warning of a doctor becomes operative, this man can also stop or moderate, although he may find it difficult and troublesome and may even need medical attention. We call this guy the heavy or the hard drinker. They drink like we alcoholics drink. But if a good enough reason presents itself, they will either learn to moderate their drinking, they do not have the physical allergy, or they may quit drinking entirely. They do not have the obsession of the mind. They drink like us, but they're not alcoholic. And you and I see them all the time. They're the ones that said, when I was in the service, I was an alcoholic also. But when I got out of the service, I got married, went to church, quit drinking, don't see why in the hell you can't. Now, they're not alcoholics, they're heavy or hard drinkers. These expressions that Joe read would refer to the heavy drinker also. But here's the third one. But what about the real alcoholic? He may start off as a moderate drinker, which many of us did. He may or may not become a continuous hard drinker. Many of us stayed periodic. But at some stage of his drinking career, he begins to lose all control of his liquor consumption once he starts to drink. Now, the rest of this page and part of page 22 is going to describe the real alcoholic. And when you see a description in there that fits you, would you please hold your hand up? We'd like to see if we're in a room full of real alcoholics, Joe.
Said, but some say of a drinking career begins to lose all control of his liquor consumption once he starts to drink. And I tried to talk last night about crossing over that line. Don't know what line he was talking about, but I was drunk when I went over it. I know that. So here's a fellow who's been puzzling you, especially in his lack of control. He does absurd, incredible, tragic things while drinking. Anybody do that?
He's a real Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Anybody in here like that?
Yeah, I always get good looking and out of debt, just like that. He is seldom mildly intoxicated. He is always more or less insanely drunk.
His disposition while drinking resembles his normal nature but little. He may be one of the finest fellows in the world. Yet let him drink for a day, and he frequently becomes disgusting and even dangerously antisocial.
Anybody like
Anybody
that?
Like that in here?
He has a positive genius for getting tired at exactly the wrong moment, particularly when some important decision must be made or engagement kept.
Anybody in here always getting drunk at the wrong time? Now, here's one that everybody agrees with. He's often perfectly sensible and well-balanced concerning everything except liquor, but in that respect, he's incredibly dishonest and selfish. Anybody like that in here?
The next one they identify with, too. He often possesses special abilities, skills, and aptitudes, and has a promising career ahead of him.
Any alcoholics in here like that?
Yeah.
I've never heard an Al-Anon say that, but I've heard plenty of alcoholics say it.
He uses his gift to build up a bright outlook for his family and self, and then he pulls the structure down on his head by a sensitive series of sprees. He is a fellow who goes to bed so intoxicated he ought to sleep the clock around, yet early the next morning, he searches madly for the bottle he misplaced the night before.
Any bottle hiders in here and then forgot where you hid it and couldn't find it the next day? If he can afford it, he may have liquor concealed all over his house to be certain no one gets his entire supply away from him to throw down the waste pipe. Anybody like that in here?
Hiding bottles? Phyllis and I used to buy a lug of whiskey, and it's 3/5, one to share and one to hide from each other.
As matters grow worse, he begins to use a combination of high-powered sedative and liquor to quiet his nerves so he can go to work. Anybody ever have to have a little something extra in the morning in order to go to work? Then comes a day when he simply cannot make it and gets drunk all over again. Perhaps he goes to a doctor who gives him morphine or some sedative to which to taper off. Then he begins to appear at hospitals and treatment centers. Oh, excuse me, sanitariums. Anybody like that?
The same thing.
Same thing. They just got a better word for it.
Asylum, sanitary, it's the same thing.
Now, this is by no means a comprehensive picture of the true alcoholic as our behavior patterns vary. But this description should identify him roughly. You know, thank God today, if our government has ever spent anything right in the field of alcoholism, it's been an education of the public as to what alcoholism is and what it isn't. And because of that education, many, many people are getting to AA today before they have to do all these things that describe the real alcoholic. But I'll guarantee you, if you're a real alcoholic, you found yourself in there somewhere. At least one of those will fit you. In my case, almost every one. One in particular. If he can afford it, he may have liquor concealed all over his house to be certain no one gets the entire supply away from him to throw down the waste pipe. 7 years after I got sober, I sold a 40-acre, 45,000 broiler chicken operation. For years after that, sometimes I would run into the guy that bought it, and he would wave and he'd say, "Hey, Charlie, we have found another one." Referring to partially empty vodka bottles, behind corner posts, under rocks and hollow trees, coming out of feed bins, all over that 40-acre deal. Certainly I saw myself. Now here's the question. Why does he behave like this? If hundreds of experiences have shown him that one drink means another debacle with all its attendant suffering and humiliation, why is it that he takes that one drink? Why can't he stay on a water wagon? The moderate drinker can. The heavy drinker can. Why can't the alcoholic? What has become of the common sense and willpower that he still sometimes displays with respect to other matters? Perhaps there never will be a full answer to these questions. Opinions vary considerably as to why the alcoholic reacts differently from normal people. We're not sure why. Once a certain point is reached, little can be done for him. We cannot answer the riddle. We know that while the alcoholic keeps away from drink, as he may do for months or years, he reacts much like other men. We are equally positive that once he takes any alcohol, whatever, into his system, something happens, both in the bodily and mental sense, which makes it virtually impossible for him to stop. The experience of any alcoholic will abundantly confirm this. Now, these observations, the one I just read, these observations would be academic and pointless if our friend never took the first drink, thereby setting the terrible cycle in motion. Therefore, the main problem the alcoholic centers in his mind rather than in his body.
Would you read that again, please?
Therefore, the main problem the alcoholic centers in his mind rather than in his body. It's very important I understand the physical allergy, but that's not my real problem. My physical allergy can't hurt me if I don't take the first drink. And I can't take the first drink unless my mind tells me it's okay to do so. So my real problem centers in my mind telling me I can drink, rather than in my body that ensures that I can't. If you ask him why he started on that last bender, The chances are he will offer you any one of 100 alibis. Sometimes the excuses have a certain plausibility, but none of them really make sense in the light of the havoc an alcoholic's drinking bout creates. They sound like the philosophy of the man who, having a headache, beats himself on the head with a hammer so that he can't feel the ache. If you draw this fallacious reasoning to the attention of an alcoholic, he will laugh it off or become irritated and refuse to talk. Once in a while, he may tell the truth. No, strange as it may seem, there are times we alcoholics tell the truth. Not too often, but once in a great while. You know, I had a lady in Al-Anon came to me one day, and she said, her husband's still drinking. She said, "Charlie, all he does is lie, lie, lie." She said, "How can you tell when one of you guys are lying?" I said, "Lady, watch him closely. And if you see his lips moving, he's probably lying to you all right." And then I said, "You want me to tell you how to keep him from lying?" And she said, "Yeah, yeah." I said, "Don't ask him those stupid questions." The truth, strange to say, is usually he has no more idea why he took that first drink than you have. Some drinkers have excuses which are satisfied part of the time, but in their hearts they really do not know why they do it. Once this malady has a real hold, they are a baffled lot. There is the obsession that somehow someday they will beat the game, but they often suspect they are down for the count. Now, there's the word obsession. Remember, an obsession of the mind is an idea that overcomes all ideas to the contrary. An obsession of the mind is an idea that is so strong that it can make you believe a lie. The great obsession of every alcoholic is someday, somehow, we're going to find some kind of liquor we can drink without getting drunk. Someday, somehow, we're going to find a group of people we can drink with. Someday, somehow. And that idea is so strong that it makes us believe it's okay to drink. We take the drink, we trigger the allergy, and then we get drunk. So our real problem lies in the mind telling us it's okay to drink.